Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. It's been another grim day in the battle against COVID-19 in India, with that country recording a new global high of 353,000 coronavirus cases, the fifth day of record numbers. The international community, including Ireland, has rallied to help India's now overwhelmed health service. Pictures from outside hospitals in Delhi and beyond show patients gasping for air. Doctors say many are dying outside on beds on trolleys as they wait to be admitted. A spokesperson for the Indian government told the BBC today that they were doing everything possible to improve the supply of oxygen and that 64,000 temporary beds would be put in place.
Definitely it's a crisis, but no need of panic as such, because the government has taken up the challenge. The government is working day and night, and we are receiving support from the international communities.
But one hospital worker who also spoke to the BBC while waiting for her father-in-law's body to be cremated after he died of COVID-19 said the situation in Delhi is appalling.
Nothing is being done. I don't know government is sleeping or what they are doing. I am totally disheartened in the situation which I am seeing. Government is a literal failure. A person cannot live here in Delhi. A person cannot even die peacefully in Delhi.
Well, we can talk now to Professor Ellis Sashidhara, who is Dean of Research and Professor of Biology at Ashoka University in Delhi. A very good afternoon to you, Professor Sashid, and thank you very much for taking our call this afternoon. These are horrifying accounts we're hearing from India, and these really very shocking record daily numbers, 353,000 today. And I think the real fear is that it's nowhere near a peak yet.
Yeah, you know, the situation is really bad. We do not know when it's going to peak. Definitely, it's not the peak. It might actually extend like this for another 2 to 3 weeks, at least based on a variety of different mathematical modeling. And also the way, you know, that went on, the first wave in Delhi, Pune, Mumbai, you know, it went on for more than 2 months, you know, very large number of infections, but still much less than the second wave. So it's unlikely that it's already peaked. The fact that the mortality is very high, so the number of cases will go down once the mortality comes down, because that's sort of an understanding that the virulence of the virus which is causing this trauma is less, and more people are showing the milder symptoms. That's what we are looking for. First, mortality has to come down, and then the case number may go down.
Tell us then about the enormous pressure this is placing on Indian hospitals and on the Indian healthcare system. Just how overwhelmed is it?
It is. And in fact, it was there. I know we all were blind and, you know, to the problem that was coming. We understand that we couldn't sort of predict the kind of the numbers, right? But still, the oxygen supply, which is the very basic infrastructural, which it's not a rocket science. Somewhere we failed. The whole, as a society, as a country, I think we have failed. It's really extremely sad. And first, I should also first thank Ireland for showing such good support and extending all the support to India. It's really disturbing for all of us here.
But clearly much more is needed. And at this stage, international help is needed and on a significant scale.
Exactly. Because, you know, you see, India, one of the largest democratic countries and with 1.4 billion people, and Indians are, you know, providing a variety of different kinds of, skill services to the entire world. And so the participation of Indians in movement of people across the world is very, very high. Given that any new variants, you know, coming out of Indian population when the infection is spreading, it will may create more problems for the world. You know, whole of last 1 year, the whole world is suffering from the pandemic, and we should not, you know, lead to one more new pandemic, a new variant of the virus which starts spreading across the world. I think we need to suppress this as early as possible, so that the whole world is also safe, not just India.
India, I think, despite fears this time last year, had a fairly, I won't say escaped lightly, but was much perhaps less severely hit by the first wave of COVID. Did that result in complacency? Why are we seeing this such a terrible situation developing now?
There are two aspects to this. One is definitely complacency and too much of self-confidence and saying that we are different, we are more immune, we escape the infection and compared to the well-developed Western countries. There are also a theory many people propose from Western scientists too, proposing that unhygiene conditions in India perhaps may have protected us from this new infection. Mm. The evidence was against there all the time. If you look at the age-wise mortality or CFR, it was as high as it was in Italy in the first wave or as high as in New York in the first wave. But somehow people ignored the age-wise CFR and started looking at the whole country-wise CFR. And because our testing was so low in the beginning, we didn't test enough. So counting CFR, IFR and all those things were not correct.
Yeah.
And that basically also gave us a false impression that we may have beaten the pandemic better than other countries. And that complacency must have led to the second wave.
Yeah.
And not prepared for the second wave.
India, of course, is also on an enormous scale a manufacturer of vaccines, which have been delivered around the world. What's the progress of the vaccination program in India? And will that in due course provide protection?
Well, yes, it's, given the circumstances, I think that's progressing well. And we have already vaccinated close to, 175 million people, which is a very large number of people. And we are going to vaccinate every adult starting from May 1st until the priority was people above 60 and above 45 and 60. And now we're going to vaccinate every adult. And hopefully by September or so, we'll be able to vaccinate more than half the population. And there is already sort of indications that the mortality among the 60 and above is coming down, suggesting that vaccination is preventing, mortality or reducing the rate of mortality, but not necessarily infection. So, the more and more younger people are getting infected, perhaps the older people also know the spreaders. Earlier, older people, if they get infection, immediately used to get isolated and hospitalized.
Yeah, and I think you do question the vaccination strategy. Is that right? You're arguing for a different approach.
Yes, I think we agree that the vaccination strategy of treating older people first, as vaccinating older people first, was indeed the correct one rather than universal vaccination program, considering the population size and the availability of the vaccines.
All right, well, listen, we leave it there. Professor L.S. Shahidra, thank you very much indeed for talking to us here on the News at One.